providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed the first two segments with Jesse Felder. Again, kind of more big picture conversation that we had with Jesse. In the last two segments here, we are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. That means it's going to be a bit more chart-focused and, again, a bit more long-term chart-focused as we are going to be referring to a lot of monthly charts, as Doc likes to do. Look, we all know that we get the odd little bounce and the odd little counter-trend rally, but Doc, big picture-wise, let's start with the gold stocks because, look, it was a pretty bad monthly close for a lot of different sectors, but since we are focusing on precious metals, silver broke down, gold hasn't fully broken down, hasn't reached that 1675 level yet, but GDX, that just closed at another monthly low that we have to go back to just after the pandemic crash. But quite frankly, I like to look at more of the big picture look here, where GDX is back to levels that were almost a year before that pandemic. So we have completely retraced all the gains that came out of the metal stocks after the pandemic run that we had. Doc, where do we stand now? Is there any hope for GDX to stabilize somewhere around these levels, even after that bad monthly close we just had?
Well, I think they could stabilize, but I hate to say this, but I wouldn't be surprised to see GDX over time move down below 20. And right now, I'm looking at 2308. So I think, Corey, that the path of least resistance here yet, as we go into the end of the year, is in which GDX comprises some of the big cap stocks, and they're starting to get hit finally. And they have a ways to go, most of these stocks, lower, because I've looked at a lot of their charts. And so as they comprise GDX, I just think GDX, the path of least resistance, is down yet. And so I think we're going to see below 20 in GDX going forward.
Well, Doc, you and I were speaking just before we started recording about a couple of stocks, and almost everyone I talked to you about, you said, that's probably going lower. Yep, that one's probably going lower. And we even got over to the big move that Newmont's had, which is really the bellwether for the whole sector, the largest gold company, the one most generalists will be familiar with or may even have a position in. And so I'd love to get your outlook on what you think of the bellwether Newmont and what the outlook is there, kind of as a model for the rest of the sector.
Well, because Newmont, I think Newmont has a real good chance in this move with time to move down into the 30 to 35 range. And I think we're going to be there probably by October. And then the question becomes if it holds there. And that'll be dependent a lot on what the longer term charts look like at that time. The problem with if you close be in the area of 30 to 35 for Newmont is that it's broken the 200 month moving average, which would be significant. And if it does that, which there's a very good possibility it could over the next couple, 3 months, then one suspects that we're going to be in this a little bit longer than we'd like to, and that we might even move into next year struggling with some of these big cap stock names.
So, Doc, what about the juniors? Because in all fairness, I think we all know that the juniors have been beat up way more than the majors, even though the majors have corrected already quite substantially. But we look at some of these juniors, and boy, oh boy, they're back to single-digit million-dollar market caps. Some of them even still have money in the bank at those market caps. Are you a bit more, I guess, confident that the juniors could hold up a little better, even if the majors are still going to trend lower?
Well, juniors have probably a little bit more sickness to them, too, I would say. You look at the GDXJ, and I think that the trend for that is probably still down a little bit. I think we could see 25 on the GDXJ before I would get quite excited about it. And we could even, you know, move lower after that. But I would think 20 to 25 for the GDXJ before we probably start leveling out, frankly. But a lot of those have gotten crushed already, and there's some real buys in it. So for a lot of investors right now, if you are careful about which ones you want to pick, between now and the end of the year, especially with tax loss selling, I think it's going to be a great time for these bargains to be picked up.
Well, Doc, another thing that's been eventful lately, as Corey mentioned in the intro, was silver pulling back below 18. A lot of people did not want to see that, me included. And now we're in the mid-17s. Some technicians are targeting lower prices, usually the mining stocks, especially GDXJ, but of course SILJ and SIL, track the silver price. Silver is a more speculative metal than gold is, and it tends to trade more with the miners. Does this pullback in silver concern you at all about there being even more pressure in the mining stocks?
Yeah, and the tough thing about silver is this week, if tomorrow or if Friday doesn't show much improvement in it, we're going to have a lower closing low than we've seen since July. That is not good. Plus, we've broken, of course, through the 200-week moving average, and that in itself was a really negative thing for silver. And so silver is going to also be under pressure for a while, looks like. And as gold, and we talked about this off mic, that there were a lot of people that thought the gold lows were in going back months ago. But it's looking like we're going to plumb new lows in gold as well. Gold is looking very weak on the monthly charts, and we may not get those lows tomorrow, but it does not look promising for gold either. So if gold's going to move down, you can bet silver is, especially due to its industrial component, which as we enter recession and a deeper one, the usage won't be there as much as if we were expanding our economy.
So, Doc, give us some insights on what technicals you're actually watching on that, let's say, gold monthly chart. Because silver, look, there's many negatives that we can point out on silver as it has just broken down, especially on that monthly chart. Gold, though, again, still is holding above some of those recent lows of around 1675. But what are the technicals that you're focused on that are telling you that new lows will be coming?
Well, number one, the good news is we closed off another month. We've had 5 months of lower closing lows for gold. And that's positive in the sense that we're due for a month where we actually have a close above. And hopefully that will happen in September. But the problems are, for the first time on the momentum indicator, the RSI, the relative strength index, we've broken the 50 medium line between the 70 and the 30, which is considered the average, the 50. It's for the first time we've broken below that. That is one item. Number two is that your lower Bollinger band is now turning down on the chart. That's number two. Number three is we're still, the 12-month on the MACD is still leading the 26-month down, and we haven't even gotten to zero yet. So that's the third thing. And the fourth thing is that the ADX, which is a strength indicator, is now turning down again and took out its previous low. That was at the first of last year. And so that's starting a new trend down. So for all those reasons, and plus the last one is the slow stochastic has not yet oversold. It's not in oversold territory yet. So all of these are pointing to a problem for gold right now and showing the possibility that we are moving to new lows for gold.
Well, Doc, a lot of that support is either coming in at that lateral price support around that 1675 level that's been tested about four times now, but also there's a lot of those moving averages you went over that are also aligning in that same zone in the high 1670s or in the mid 1600s. What do you have a support level in mind if that level breaks? Because it seems like a lot of people are leaning towards if that's tested again, it's going to break. When you say new lower lows, about how low, and do you have a rough idea of the duration of time before we see things bottom out?
Well, what I would not like to see is a close below 1600 ultimately. That's what I don't want to see. However, we are also, the other point is that we bounced off the 50-month exponential moving average back in July. And now we're going to be approaching that again. And the odds are that if we close below that or the simple moving average 50-month, we got a problem then that we're going to be into a move lower in gold into next year. That doesn't mean we're going to break down completely, but I definitely would not like to see us close any month below 1600. That's what I'm looking at.
So, Doc, something that we talked about a lot, or at least a couple times this last week, is the potential chart similarities for gold compared to that 2011 to 2013 region right before gold really dropped out of bed and then went into that multi-year, that five-year consolidation. Are you seeing any similarities in terms of the charts now to that 2011 to 2013 time frame?
This move down in gold to me is much better from the standpoint of, and I've said this before, that if you look at strength indicators, they have not dropped right out of bed like they did back in 2012 and 13. In fact, if you go back and compare where we are on a monthly basis in this gold move, and you go back to 2013, 2013 was way lower on a percentage basis than we are today. And that's encouraging to me. So what that tells me is there's still strength underlying this gold market, that as we move into more of a sell-off here, we're not going to drop way out of bed based on how the strength indicator is not moving down in a vertical position much at all. It's gradually and lazily moving down, which tells you that there's strength in this market and that you're not going to see the percentage of sell-off regardless as we move down like we did back in 2011 to 2013. The problem was back in 2013, we were much lower comparatively on a monthly basis. And after that, it still moved down after a year and a half to even lower lows. Well, this time around, I think as we move down, and we move into next year, we're going to not go much lower. And that'll set us up eventually for a decent rally.
Well, Doc, one thing that's been a headwind for gold and silver and really most of the commodities has been the dollar. The U.S. dollar has continued to surge higher really all year long. Just this week, I mean, as of recording this on Thursday, it was at 109.62 at the time of this recording and got pretty close to 110 today. Do you think we'll continue to see a stronger dollar? Because while it does not have to be inversely correlated to any of the commodities or gold or silver, it generally is a headwind, and it would be a tailwind if it would roll over. What's your outlook on the greenback?
I think the greenback, and I said this about 2 or 3 months ago, I think the greenback will peak. Will probably peak by the end of the year. In fact, it may peak by November, December. But that doesn't mean that we're just going to vertically drop after that. We could hang around at the top like we did back in 2015 and 16. We could hang around a top for a while in the greenback before we start to move down. But I don't see the greenback going much higher after the end of the year at all. It'll just hang around and then probably start a descent sometime in 2023. Once we meet that top in the greenback toward the end of the year, I think most of the damage will have been done into the precious metal market.
So once that damage has been done, is there going to be a snapback rally, Doc, or is there going to be time needed to consolidate those losses, build up maybe a bit more solid of a base?
I think your latter comment, Corey, I've been saying that for some time, too, that I don't see a V-shaped recovery at all. I think there's going to be so much damage done, not only the precious metals, but also the conventional markets, which some people think the bottom's going to be done by September to December. I just read a guy, but I don't think so, because once the conventional markets take out their 50-month moving averages, there's no way they're going to bounce back up over those in any meaningful way. So I think we could have problems with the conventional market for some time too. And so just from that standpoint, I think what we're going to see is the precious metals will bottom. A lot of these stocks will bottom, and then they're going to just bounce along a bottom for a number of weeks and months and slowly move up. It won't be fantastic for a while, but eventually we'll get back to the point where they'll start a sustained move up, but I don't think it's going to be right away. They're going to have to consolidate and gain some strength at their bottoms before they really start to move up.
Well, Doc, that brings up a question about the narrative that we hear sometimes that for gold to really have a true bull market, it's got to diverge from the general markets. But then we have a lot of people that come on and say, hey, look, you know, if the general markets go down another 20, 30% and have a serious corrective move from where they've already corrected, that's going to pull everything down with it, including gold, silver, and the mining stocks. Do you see a scenario where the precious metals or even the mining stocks bottom before the markets and start moving up and do diverge, or will they both go down in tandem?
I think if the general market goes down, that'll take down the large cap stocks even further with them. I think some of the explorers and other mid-tiers are pretty much washed out. They may have a little percentage move down lower, but not much. I think some of them are already scraping the bottom and are ready to turn laterally on the longer-term charts. But it'll have more of an impact, I believe, on the large cap if the conventional market continues to be under pressure.
Doc, where does the conventional markets go from here then? Because clearly, still bear market action that we're seeing, still the high fly or the tech stocks, the riskier stocks, more taking it on the chin than anything else. But again, everything seems to be moving lower in this fairly orderly bear market sell-off. How much lower can U.S. equities go?
Well, I think what happens with the U.S. equities is that I think they challenge their lows first that we saw around June and July of this year. That's going to happen first. And then you may get a little bump, not as high as in the Dow, the 34,000, which I mentioned last month that we would see most likely, which we did. But then I think they may recover a little bit. But then the key to watch long term on the conventional market stocks is the 50-month exponential and simple moving averages. They haven't been compromised at all. In fact, we haven't had a close below those things in almost 11 years, I think it's been. And so even though we pulled back here, if we would start to move higher in these stock markets, that means that we haven't even had a bear market, that all we've done is move back and challenged some very important moving averages. To make this a bear market, we're going to have to close below those 50-month moving averages. And if we do, if we have a couple months or so, then we're going to go a lot lower. And then it's a question of how low do we go. But as we spoke off mic, I think that Mr. Powell, unlike every, there were a lot of people that thought he'd be backing off by July already. And I said consistently early in the year, don't count on it this time, because they've got a real inflation problem there that scares these people skinny. And I think he's going to be semi-Volcker-esque versus an Arthur Burns response back years ago when they were Fed chairman. And I think he means what he's saying this time. They have to, because otherwise they're going to let that inflation genie out of the box that you think it's bad now. It's going to be a lot worse. So I think he doesn't mind cracking this, the stock market. I don't. And if you look at the unemployment reports yet, they aren't bad at all yet. So I think they have no problem keeping rates raising as long as the unemployment figures don't go nasty on them. So that hasn't even happened yet. So they have room yet to raise rates. And I think they're headed to at least 4-5% on the Fed fund rate.
That's what I was going to ask you, Doc, because look, you are right. The Fed has told us that they're focused on inflation and they're watching the job market. It seems to be giving them the clearance to continue to hike rates. We've seen quite a move in the 10-year just last month. In August, it started at 2.5%. As we're recording this, it's over 3.25%. that's a big move for just a month. And quite frankly, look, the path of least resistance does still seem to be higher for yields. How high can the 10-year go in your eyes?
Boy, that's a good question. And the thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little rally in the bond market here, but it's not going to be anything significant. You know that we've moved for the first time on the MACD, on the monthly chart, into negative territory in the bond market for the first time in years. And what does that tell you? That tells you that this is just the beginning of hanging around for the MACD in the negative territory. You don't just, after years of being above zero, when you compromise that area, you don't just go zooming right back up to challenge the previous highs. It doesn't happen that way. Once you move into a negative territory like this on these long-term charts, they're going to be in them for a while. So what does that tell you? That tells you that we're not going to go up and challenge those highs in the bond market again, probably in my lifetime or your lifetime. I don't think it's going to happen again. We're seeing the end to what we've watched for years. And I think we're headed in the bond market. And I'm not going to give you a number yet because I want to wait to see what happens here. But we're headed toward the 200-month moving average on the bond market. And I think eventually we're going to take that out. And so we're seeing a reversal that I think is significant because once again, the bond market was playing off the 50-month moving averages for years. It hardly it compromised it a little bit in 2018, but now we've really compromised it. And pretty soon you're going to watch those moving averages starting to turn down. And that's going to be resistance for any move back up or back down for rates. You know, and so I think we're on the beginning of a whole new bond move, and it's going to be bearish for months to years.
Well, Doc, you're not alone in thinking that. We've had a number of guests on the show that have pointed out that it was probably August of 2020 that was the peak in bonds after a 40-year run, over 40 years, and we'll probably see the other side of the mountainside going down for quite a long time. There may be an occasional bounce in the bond market just to relieve some pressure. But with all this backdrop of the financials, with the strong dollar, with Fed continuing to hike longer than people think, with markets being weak, would you consider this still being a good spot to short the general markets then? Or are you waiting for a certain resistance level to be hit where you would short it from? What's your outlook on the markets playing it to the downside?
Well, I shorted the market, the conventional markets, again when it got up around 34,000, which I had mentioned last month we'd probably see. So I started shorting it then, and then I shorted it pretty good. And then about a week ago, I added a little bit. What I do at this point in time, I add, but I never add the amount where I first started with. So I keep adding as it drops. And I will add a little bit more until we challenge the previous lows on the market. And then I'll wait to see what the chart looks like, because once we take out the 50-month moving averages, then I'll really short it hard, because then there's nothing but air underneath for quite a while. And that's what I'm looking at doing, Shad.
All right, Doc, we're going to wrap it up here. I think you've outlined enough lower targets for enough different markets. So I always do appreciate your outlook, especially in that longer term fashion, because you have been broadly right in the general direction. And that's more for investors that want to buy and hold rather than trade in and out of positions. Different strokes for different folks when it comes to investing. But look, we have some levels now after we just went through, unfortunately, a pretty bad close for the metals and even markets being on their back foot. It's a tough year for markets. It's bear market action that has brought everything down. But there are some levels that we should be watching for. Overall, though, Doc, always great chatting with you. I do appreciate your time on this weekend show. Everybody, please be sure to visit our website, our podcast throughout the week. Listen to our daily editorials. And as always, email Chad and I with your thoughts on markets, companies that you like, and any guests you would like to see on the show. Everybody, thank you again for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.